radio to thrive by?
Blog Talk Radio.
Navigate life's crossroads with stories, ritual, and sacred astrology. A special guest, Danielle Blackwood.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is calling Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal.
This guy is brutal, and what's happening in Bucha is outrageous.
Speaking to reporters at Fort McNair Monday morning, President Biden condemned recent mass killings in the northwest Ukraine town of Bucha. Biden wants the Russian president to be held accountable in a war crimes trial, but says more information and details must be gathered first. Meantime, President Biden says the U.S. will provide Ukraine with more weapons as they continue their fight against Russia, and he says more Russian sanctions are on the way. A U.S. defense official says around two-thirds of Russian troops who were near the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv have departed the area. The official said troops are moving north and are regrouping in Belarus. The Russian forces are believed to be resupplying, possibly reinforcing, and then will be sent back to Ukraine to fight elsewhere in the country. The U.S. official said Russian forces will be sent to the Donbas region to fight there. The Senate Judiciary Committee will likely deadlock on the nomination of federal Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court today. During today's committee hearing, Minnesota Democrat Amy Klobuchar called Jackson impartial.
She's going to decide cases with fairness, and she's going to do the best thing, and she's going to look at the facts, and she's going to look at the law, and she's going to make a decision.
Utah Republican Mike Lee said Jackson was evasive during two full days of confirmation hearings. The committee is evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, 11 to 11. Dems hold a razor-thin majority in the full Senate and can pull procedural levers to call a confirmation vote. The developer of Fortnite is donating millions to help those affected by Russia's ongoing attack in Ukraine. Epic Games announced in a tweet $144 million was raised for humanitarian aid. The fundraising effort included proceeds players spent on the Battle Royale game over a two-week period. Epic says the money's going to five organizations, including UNICEF and the UN's World Food Program. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
You're the one everyone looks to for answers. Come rain or shine, the job must get done, and you're the one who makes it happen. We get you, Jackie in Fresno, putting your employee safety first. And Manny in Chattanooga, whose local Granger team knows him by name. We're here for you and all the ones who get it done with 24/7 customer support and access to product specialists to help you find what you need. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents Doug.
Check it out, Lemu. A roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's stand out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Emu? Famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much. I want to tell everybody that our hearts still go out to the people in Ukraine. We have been trying to contact a parliamentary member, Yuras, since we did the interview with him, and he is very hard to get a hold of. Of course, we know he's in the front lines doing that. And so, you know, amidst the United States and our pop culture and the Oscars and then the Grammys last night, you know, of course, all of the conversations, you know, we like to be in the space we're in now. We've been so hungry for it, but we also like to pay attention to the people that could use our support. And, you know, these are the events that we're seeing now, and it really doesn't matter what side of the political fence you're on or not. There are events happening in our world. They are crossroad events, okay? They are places in life that maybe you don't see them as a crossroad, but I look at them that way. And the reason I look at them that way is because one of the things I discovered, you know, growing up was that, you know, it didn't matter if we were at a pivotal point in life where the darkness needed just a little light. I mean, we can go back to times where almost every week of the year there was a march, there was a protest, and this was before social media. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we live in a world now where at our fingertips, at our phones, at our machines, whatever you want to call it, we don't call them computers anymore, so it doesn't really much matter, but there is this way that we look at life. And it's interesting because, you know, we are a digital network, and yet we have an interesting policy here. And we basically have a no cell phone policy during the day for our producers. Certainly if there's personal things you have to take care of, great. But the world of cell phones and digital media is so addicting. And part of what we've tried to do is look at how to create a humane balance between people wanting to stay connecting and staying focused. Because when you are running a show or when you are doing other things, it is so easy to be distracted. But crossroads are important in life. And when you get to the place where you're looking at them and you have to really find what the meaning is and how to navigate them, you may want to take a look at what Danielle Blackwood is putting together, Lantern in the Dark, Navigating Life's Crossroads, with Story, Ritual, and Sacred Astrology. And I love the term Sacred Astrology. And let me tell you why I love the term, but you're going to hear from her in a minute. But the reason I love the term is there's astrology that we have that's like every day you tap into some website or you tap into an app on your phone, it's going to say, you know, you're like this and today's day is going to be this. That's one form of getting astrology in your veins, right? But there's sacred astrology, and I used to refer to it as esoteric astrology. But whatever you want to call it, there's a sacredness to things and a sacredness to life. But when you're looking at that lantern in the dark, when you are looking at that place where the light can shine, we get to define that. You know, it was interesting for me last night as I was watching some of the Grammys and, you know, certainly looking at the energy of that and watching a group of artists decide that they're going to take their show out of L.A., to Vegas, and the energy in the room and having people back together, there's not anything quite like it. But yet none of that really dismisses the fact that we need a source and guidance in difficult times. And that's what this is about. That's what Danielle is bringing to the forefront. She is a professional astrologer, 30 years, registered counselor, therapist, private practice, certificates in both Jungian and post-Jungian clinical concepts, all of the above. But she's out here today to talk about what we need to know about these crossroads. You know, best-selling book, The 12 Faces of Goddess, that was a great book. That book's a great book. This book's a great book, too. But today, this is where we learn how to navigate. And if you don't think you need some navigation skills, hopefully by the end of today's show, you will have a sense of that. Danielle, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much for hosting this for me today. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks, Dr. Pat.
I want to just hit you up really quickly with a question about the crossroads. I mean, you know, I used to think about crossroads as like major things. But, you know, I'm starting to look at crossroads as they happen on a regular basis. you know, crossroads. I mean, you may not think having the Grammys in Vegas is a crossroad, but it was a major undertaking. You know, it was, do we come back out again? How do we come back out again? How do we have this fantastic award where musicians, and right now there are more categories in the Grammys than I think there are, like, are people that produce them. There's just so many categories. But the decisions that they had to make, they were at a crossroads. And we may not think, really, Pat, the Grammys? Yeah. Because it was either going to happen or not. It was clear it was not going to happen in L.A. Every day of our lives now, we're faced with things. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do as a business owner, and Jessica and I talked about this morning, was how do we feel about a cell phone environment in audio and producing? And we've done a number of things to look at how do we meet people in the middle of the road. And yet we find that this is, again, one of life's crossroads. You know, what is it that we as people are so drawn to? We just cannot control ourselves, right? And if you ever want to see despair, take a cell phone away from somebody that is so dependent on it. And I want to ask you about this because we are in this world of media and communication, and I think it's a major crossroad, and I think you've got some answers for us, don't you?
I hope so. crossroads, absolutely. I think we're at a serious crossroad in the collective right now, and we have been for the last couple of years. Just all you have to do is turn on the news or, you know, look at social media, and you see that there's something big happening. There's a lot of things going on beneath the surface that feel epic. You know what I mean? So there's those kind of crossroads, and then there are our personal crossroads, which is what my book, A Lantern in the Dark, is all about.
Yeah.
So what I wrote about are the major crossroads between sort of during those years that you're creating your life as an adult. So the first one being at the first Saturn return, which happens at around age 30, and then taking you through those midlife transits, which are also big crossroads. And then the last one in the book is the second Saturn return, which is between around 58 and 60, which are, all of these are significant rites of passage that people go through. So what's really interesting is that those things are happening for people all the time, but then we're also at this place in history where absolutely we're, you know, the whole world is at a crossroads right now. So when you layer your own personal times of, you know, those thresholds, as well as what's happening in the world, it's a lot. It is a lot to manage. So one of the reasons why I wrote this book, A Lantern in the Dark, because I had so many of my clients coming to me and just saying, what is happening? What is going on?
Right.
You know, like there's all this stuff in my own life. Yeah. And then there's the turn on the news, and then there's all this other stuff. So that's one of the big reasons I decided, you know, it's time to put this all this material I have together and put it out so that people can find an alternative way of getting through those dark woods times.
And, you know, this is really what we're talking about. I love that, you know, as I was reading your book and I went back over it again, you know, one of the things I was really struck by was the fact that, you know, you're talking about, I can't remember exactly where in your book, but you're talking about humankind's propensity for meaning making. And I couldn't have said that better. I mean, it's an interesting term, meaning making, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a hunger. And, you know, what I mean by it's like a hunger, what I mean is that we may or may not be conscious of that hunger, right? And let me ask you this question, because when we go on and we take a look more at what you write and you talk about how important it is to get clear on your core values, and I think we're being hit with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is not always, and I want to ask you this question, that is not always such a pleasant place. You know, when you get clear on core values, it may call you to really bump up against your life, your job, right? And you came right out of the gate with that. And can you talk about that for a minute? Because, you know, this is one of these things that we just won. don't know is important, and two, don't know it's important to help navigate. But you came right out of the gate in the book with that.
Yeah, it was right towards the beginning, wasn't it?
Yes, right there.
Yeah, as human
if I might say, okay, here, let me remind you. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. How funny you put that in that core value section and then write it. It's in the solar return section, but it's, you know, I mean, yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really getting to our own core values, like you said, it can be difficult at first because it's about sorting and sifting and weeding things out. What truly resonates with me? What's really important at the end of the day? You know, so a lot of people feel like, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, no cell phone rule, that it makes so much sense because we are so distracted by so many things with social media, with cell phones, with all the rest of it, the news, fake news, this news, that news. But I think that really getting down into what is truly important in your life. You know what I'm saying there. So I think that, yeah, we are meaning-making creatures, and we're always looking for a deeper reason for the things that happen during the crossroad times, during any time in our lives, especially those big times. We're looking at those and we're saying, what's underneath all of this? What is the meaning underneath it? So I think that's what calls us to finding our own stories echoed throughout myth, folklore, legend, fairy tale, and seeing that sort of familiarity and saying, wow, I can kind of feel my own story being echoed through that story. And I think we can get a lot of insight in delving and diving deep into those places.
And, you know, I love the fact that what you did here was you are pulling together major emphasis points in life. And can I just tell you what I mean by that? You know, when we talk about astrology, I just got my solar return looked at and done. And, you know, when I saw the chart come back, so to speak, I was like, what is that? Right? And I just decided, I don't even understand how to make heads or tails of this. And so I called a friend of mine, and I sat down, and he went over it. And honestly, we only talked about two parts of it. But they were crossroad-type parts. And one of the things you say right out of the gate is navigating your Saturn return. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how that is a major navigational threshold, because you didn't waste any time getting to that. You're like, okay, we talked about values, now let's get to this.
Well, yeah, the Saturn return, yeah, no, it's an interesting one. It's one of the biggest milestones in the human lifespan. And what happens, what a Saturn return essentially is that Saturn in the sky is literally coming back to the same sign and degree as it was when you were born. And it does that every 30 years. So it takes approximately 30 years for Saturn to go around your birth chart, around the sun, and come back to where it was when you were born. So you get one around 30, you get another one around 60-ish, and then if you're lucky enough, you get one around 90. So Saturn in astrology brings, you know, it's themes like aging, maturity, milestones. It's the principle of reality. It's about needing to look at things not as that you would wish them to be, but as you are willing to put in the work and make them be. You know, it's about manifesting, but manifesting and being willing to do the work. So that's what a Saturn return essentially is. Yeah. And when people have those times, all kinds of things start happening. Those Saturnian lessons, it feels like a very sobering time when you really are called to look at those core values and figure out what you stand for and what you resonate with, what you're aligned with, and what you want to commit to, most importantly. So in a nutshell, that's what a Saturn return is. And like I said, you get one, you start feeling it around 27, sort of on your horizon, and it's really in play by 30. And if anyone is past 30, and I know I am, you can look back at that time and say, what was going on for me then? You know, it usually is something that grows us up in a really profound
way. I'm telling you, when I started to read your book about this, I went back and I was asking Linda about it too. And I'm glad you said 30-ish, right?
Yes.
Because I was thinking about this and I was thinking about what was happening to me in that point in time. And And there were a couple of things, and they were so profoundly stark is not the right word, but they were upheaval in a good way. So he not always, like I got offered a job, work for the phone company, and by the time I was there, I started really young at the phone company. So by the time I was in that realm, I already had like 14 years of service, right? And I had been at the edge of my clerkism, right? And I was offered a position put up in Marinette Valley. And I had to leave a relationship. I had to boot everything. I had to pack up and go to a place where it's cold most of the time. And I made that decision to do it. What I realized was I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I was very fortunate to be able to undo it about 8 months later and not destroy my career. But is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Absolutely.
That was
major. Yeah, absolutely. People come to career junctures around that time. A lot of people will have their first child around that time, or they'll get married, or they'll end a relationship, and then not too long after begin a very significant relationship that they stay with for a long time. So it's always something that really says, okay, you know what? This is not working. And maybe it's time you figure out what does work. So it's all about, it is about hard work. I mean, it's truly about looking at the way things actually are, not as the way that we wish them to be, and then saying, okay, what do I need to do to work with this so that I can manifest the life that I want?
And you put in here a magical toolkit for your solar return. Let's talk about this. I don't want to blow by something, though, that you mentioned in the middle of that chapter, and that is, okay, got to have a spiritual practice. Okay, I'm just saying to you right now, like me in my 20s, no. It was more about disco. It was more about, like, fun, softball parties. Spiritual practice, I don't think I even knew what that was, but now I do.
Right.
Now I do. And I can see how what you're talking about is so important. But you give us a toolkit, don't you?
Yeah, in each chapter, so for each particular juncture that people arrive at around the same ages, there is what I call a magical toolkit. So that will include constructive, practical ways to work through these times. It also includes a guided meditation or a guided journey. What else do I have in there? Different plant allies, herbal medicine that can be helpful at different times. So, for instance, during your Saturn return, a lot of people can feel depressed. They can feel low. They can feel really kind of very introverted. And so certain types of herbs can be very helpful for that. St. John's wort, milky oats. I mean, there's a lot of them. But yes, I also have corresponding stones that you might want to carry during those times that resonate with the kind of archetypal themes that come up, essential oils. What else? And I think there's probably a bit more, but that's what I'm remembering right now.
Well, I have to tell you, there is a bit more, and I'm going to talk about a bit more because you put a bit more in here. Thank you for doing that. For those of you all that just tuned in here, I'm going to hold this up, Jacob. I don't know. Like, I'm using my laptop camera today. You see that, right? You got that. And this is Danielle.
Oh, hi there, Pat. I'll help you out.
Well, hi. Thank you, Benny.
There you go. Better? Perfect. Thank you. Yep.
Back her up.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Good. All right.
And we're set.
Navigate the camera. I'll navigate that camera. And this is a lantern in the dark. I love the love the title of the book.
Thank you.
And I love the cover. She looks like you, by the way. I was going to just say that.
Really?
Is that like a self-portrait right there? Isn't that funny? But it's not just about this. I want to keep rolling here because part one of the book talks about a lantern in the dark. I want to ask you, in your life, if you don't write a book like this, if you don't have some experience, generally speaking, I haven't come across anybody that does. I want to know how you discovered your lantern in the dark.
That's a really big question.
I know, but I have time before we go to break for you to go for it.
Are you asking me about the story that I wrote in the book?
Yeah, talk about your lantern in the dark.
Wow, okay. Well, where do I begin? Well, to begin with, I had growing up, my My father was bipolar and had a lot of issues, so to speak. I ended up running away from home when I was just about 17, and I ended up essentially on the streets. I had $15 in my pocket when I got from my little island town to the big city, and I made my way for a long time in my life in the adult entertainment industry, and it was like being in the underworld for many years. I had I married someone who echoed many of the same themes that my father had, and I extricated myself from that with my young son. And so, yes, I have gone through a lot of different paths. And that's also the time I was around 30 and I decided I need to go back to school. So that's when I, as a single parent with no financial help whatsoever, raising my little boy, I went back to school and I put myself through university. And it was one of the hardest things, as you can imagine. Just trying to manage all of that. And I knew that if I was going to help anyone, I needed to, to find the gold in the shadow.
Yeah.
And, sorry, I'm just not getting the author right off the top of my head.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. I never get them. I never get them. I'm lucky I get your name.
Thank you.
Yes, my brain doesn't work like that.
I feel honored.
But I love that. I love find the gold in the shadow.
Yes, so do I.
Wow.
I think that's partially the work I do is all about is finding the gold in the shadow in those crossroad times that you have come through in your life and turning that into something that is a strength. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to help anyone else until I was able to find that gold in my own shadow, in my own life path. So that's kind of how my story went. I graduated with distinction. I was pretty amazing, big thing for me when that happened because I ran away from home when I was almost 17. So I didn't get a chance to finish high school. So when I finally did go through all of that university, it was a big milestone for me. So here I am.
I had to ask you that question. I know it's a tough answer, but I knew that if you shared it, it would sort of it would parallel what I've been sharing about my own life because I've really Benny and I have been doing this for 20 years together, pretty much. We're almost at 20 years together. It's right around the corner, actually. And when I got sick in 04, right after I started this, this was the only thing I could do. I mean, all I could do was keep paying for airtime. But I had this vision, and I didn't know where it came from. And I haven't looked at my chart back then. I didn't look at 01, 02, 03, and 04. It'd be interesting to look at that. Because the series of events you couldn't plan. See, I couldn't plan how I got into my doctoral program. I couldn't plan, like you, how I survived finding my things on the lawn, you know, at 17.
Right.
I just turned 17, finding my stuff on the lawn, and then going into New York thinking that that's going to be like the sweet place to be. And my God, New York without money is not the place.
Mm-hmm.
But the pathway that you carve out for us in your book is so beautifully done and beautifully written that you're always reminding us that there is a lantern in the dark, Danielle. I want to take a short break, but before I do, because we're gonna talk Pluto.
Okay.
I got to because Pluto. That's all that my buddy wanted to talk about my chart, like Pluto. I'm like, why?
Sure.
Pluto. Pluto and Uranus, I think, are the two most misunderstood. You know, I'm a Jupiter baby, so everything's Jupiter. It's like manifest, big, you know. So I got like the Sag, three Sages and four Capricorns, my moon, my sun, like over there in my birth chart, right? So, but these other things, these like Venus things, these Pluto things, and by the way, how dare we not make Pluto a planet?
I agree.
Who did that? when we come back. But before we go, how do we get a copy of the book, please? I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm like all over the map. I know I am a little.
No problem. Apologize. So you're a Sagittarius? Is that what you just told me?
during the break, I'll share my screen. You can see my chart.
Sure, sounds good. The book, yeah, you can get it anywhere books are sold. Support your local bookstores first, but it's also at the big stores as well. And, of course, you can order it on Amazon. So it's out there. It just was released, I think, 2.5 weeks ago. So, yeah.
Okay. When we come back, navigating. And I can't wait to talk with her about this. Now, many of us have access to things. But this weekend, I was asked how my weekend was today, and I think I just gave a really short answer. It was great. You know, my weekend was about helping another fellow sister in recovery and addiction save her life. And it took a village of us to do that. It took some hard boundaries. It took ways to help her. Maybe it took a little money to make sure we put her up in a hotel. Navigating those waters. Anybody that's in addiction and recovery, navigating those waters are important. And you would be glad to know we are going to put up a channel, a recovery channel. So it's becoming more and more evident to me. But when we come back, this is a beautiful, beautiful way to weave the web of astrology, folklore, story, myth. Thank you, Carl Jung, and so much more. When we come back, Danielle is going to take us on a journey about all the squares. What do those squares do? And what happens when we're navigating Uranus opposition? I don't know how much we're going to get to, but we're probably not going to take a break, Benny. Let's take a short break now, everybody. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belt, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelt.com and take that step of transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Take a deep breath in. Danielle Blackwood. Let's give out your website again and tell people, I'm sorry, my book is all bent from reading it, so I'm just going to try to hold it like that. Okay, Benny, do I have it? Do I have it?
Yep,
my
fingers
are broken too. Okay. This is a really cool book, and I need to say this. I don't know. Can people call you to work with you? Do you do sessions still?
Yeah. Okay. I do. I'm actually a little bit on hiatus because I'm doing all classes right now, but I will be taking clients again. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't care how we get a hold of you. So classes, how do we do it? I went to your website. How beautiful is this?
Thank you. Yeah, so the best thing to do is get onto my website, Danielle Blackwood. .com and go to I think it's classes and workshops
and there
and click on that. Yeah, so I've got a new one. Am I allowed to talk about this right
of
now?
Of course, yes. Yes, please.
I have one that
I love promoting stuff.
I have one I'm really excited about coming up at the end of this month. It's talking about the sacred sensuality of the new moon in Taurus and the solar eclipse that's coming up on actually May 1st. So I don't know if I've got that one up yet, but it will be in the next day or two. Okay, thanks for letting me know that. Yeah, and it's going to be one session, really fun, probably about 2 hours long, and I hope that you can all join me if you're interested.
Yeah, that would be so cool because I know very little about astrology, and I'm fascinated by it. And, you know, and all I know is when I do a chart, like I just got this done, and I went through phase one of my reading, I have it all recorded, and I have to go back and listen to it again. I'm learning new and new things. Now, I didn't really understand, and I don't talk about the fact that I have Taurus rising.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's a big thing. I'm too focused on the other planets on the right side, and I've totally dismissed some things. But let's talk about generally, as you take us through the book, it's all about navigating. It's navigating a solar return, but it's also about midlife transits. And then you take us, you know, into a conversation about the descent of the goddess. I mean, I was fascinated. Okay, we're going to do midlife here, but what? Okay, what? Tell us the association of this and how powerful this is, because I've read it. It's powerful, but I think people need to hear it from you.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. I'm happy to talk about it. So between around the age of 37 and mid to late 40s, we are in a period of life called the midlife transits. And what that actually is four time frames that happen one after another between those ages. So I think that if we're at any age past that, we can probably look back at that time and say, yeah, there was a lot going on during those times. So the first one is the Pluto square. So I just don't get hung up on the name so much. We can go into that later if you want to. But let's just think of it as significant rites of passage in your life. I think that's the best way to look at it. But the first one is called the Pluto square. And essentially, Pluto in the sky is making a contentious aspect to the Pluto in your birth chart. Again, if you are not proficient in astrology, don't worry about it. What it is a significant rite of passage where around 37 to 40, we're really in this place where a lot of stuff comes bubbling up. Things that we thought had long been squished down and repressed and dealt with, all of a sudden emerges into the light of consciousness to be dealt with. So it is a time of doing a lot, facing our shadow work, doing a lot of shadow exploration, and, you know, really
I find that throughout the midlife transit, it can be a difficult time for marriages and long-term commitments, because we're really in this place where we're looking at our lives and saying, what did I come here to do? What is my purpose? And sometimes what that means is you start questioning everything and you start saying, is this the right thing for me? Is this the right relationship? Is it helping me grow? So the Pluto time between around 37 and 40, we do find a lot of people releasing anything that's keeping them from growing, and whether that be a career that doesn't really seem to fit, or maybe aspects of a career that don't fit, or a relationship that is just, you know, you've known for years maybe that it's been kind of a, not really doing much. And it, when the Pluto square happens, it's like things come to a head. I don't know if you know so much about tarot, any of you out there, but it's like the Tower card in a sense. Everything just ba-boom. You know, it just comes to that place where you say, okay, you know what? I need to get on my life. I need to, and it's not to say that everyone's relationships come to an end by any stretch of the imagination, but that's one of the ways that it can play out if that relationship is has been on shaky ground. So then there's that. Then after that one, we have the Neptune square. So it kind of comes right on the heels of Pluto, and sometimes they overlap. So in a nutshell, the Neptune square is a time when we are really looking at our own sense of spiritual, ourselves as spiritual beings. We're saying, what do I really believe? It can be a time of spiritual crisis for a lot of people when they start really questioning, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? A lot of people will look back, you know, and say, wait a second, I'm 40 now, which to me sounds so young now, but, you know, it's like at that age, people are just like, wow, I'm 40. And they suddenly realize, I'm not young anymore. And they're not old, but they're not in their 20s and they're not in their 30s. And they suddenly say, who was that person I used to be or wanted to become? So it really is a time of,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Soul searching. Oh, my God. Okay. So let's get real about what this looks like. If we could take a moment, and I'm only going to take a moment because I'm going to give you the what I call my laser view of it. When I turned 40, it started a little bit before that, but by the time I turned 40, I had made some major and significant changes, and one of them was walked away from alcohol completely. That was my date to do that. Why? I don't know. And when I did that, everything changed my perspective, and then as the year went on, I became a maverick in my workplace. I was an executive, and nothing looked the same. Nothing looked the same. You know, everything had to be shaken up and turned upside down. Yes. You know, I did go back to school. I did lose my job with that company because I did get a bit outspoken. So, you know, those kinds of things you're talking about, you know, we like to throw women under the bus a little bit here because we like to go midlife crisis like it's bad. Well, yeah. Navigating that for me was, it was challenging, and man, if I didn't go through that and make those changes, I probably wouldn't be here talking with you.
Absolutely.
So it has a couple of sides, right?
Yes, absolutely does. And there's all, so that's back to that gold in the shadow piece that we were talking about again.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that if we don't go through those places, those rites of passage, those junctures, we don't learn what we came here to learn. That is how we become who we're becoming. It's how we become the hero or heroine of our own sacred story. So without those dark woods places, we wouldn't be who we are. You're right.
Can you talk about this for a minute? Because I've been reflecting on this, you know, as I think about, you know, putting some stories together for a potential book for myself. But I was going through this, and it wasn't just turning 40. It was a little bit before that, and then it was a couple of years after.
Yes.
I almost like to call that aftershock. You know, people ask me. It's like an aftershock. Everything changed for me. It was like I left the job 6 months before a pension. I had to, but I immediately went back to Columbia to school, packed up my stuff after that, packed up a truck, moved from Jersey to, boom. By the time 1992 came, My mom passed away. My sister passed away. Mm-hmm. I clear moved across the country. I had a master's degree, and I was applying to doctorates. And here I sat in Seattle, really knew one person. But I was so at home.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, tell me, but I have to tell you, those were leap of faith courage. How much does that play in this point in our lives?
Oh, to me, it sounds like you're talking about what we call the Uranus square. So that happens around 42 to 44-ish. Yes. And it is like, you use the word aftershock, which is a very Uranian term, actually, because it does feel like just everything changes. Whatever has been stuck or stagnant, it moves whether you want it to or not. So what I think is really good is the more that you can find out about the developmental purposes of these times, the more it doesn't have to sideswipe you. It doesn't have to come as like, you know, the universe pulling the rug from under your feet. So a lot of people, I think that if you talk to them, ask them what was happening between around 42 and 44, and they might say, wow. So with Uranus, we always have there's an old adage that is expect the unexpected. And it really does tend to coincide with that time where things just happen seemingly out of the blue. But in hindsight, you look back and you say, okay, I get it now. I get why that had to happen in order for me to move to that next chapter in my life.
You know, and it's interesting because I recommend, and maybe, Danielle, you can recommend this. You know, you can go get your charts done. You can get things done online. But that's not going to tell you what you've got in the book, because one of the things you do, and I want to talk about Pluto square for a moment if we could.
Sure.
I said I would talk about that, and I was just reminded. I love how you've given us the magical kit for Pluto square. But Pluto square is like a thing. And I don't know what else to call it, but it's a thing. And I wanted to talk with you about that for a minute and what the meaning of that thing is, because I was talking with someone about myself and, you know, this year and so forth, and the interpretation of my chart initial reading was right on with the things I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had so much of an emphasis in certain planets. I'm more used to... Give me Jupiter, right? I'm more used to time. It was different. And I want to talk about the idea of a square, and especially Pluto. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Sure. A square in astrology is an aspect, and basically what it means is that two planets or archetypal energies are in a contentious relationship to each other. So that's what a square is. So if you have something that is square in your chart or in your transits coming up, it means that there's something that you need to integrate, that you need to work out, that you need to look at and do some work around. So that's a square in a very small nutshell. I could talk about that probably for hours. And the other thing you wanted to talk about is the Pluto square, which again, it starts anytime between 37 and 40, people get what we call the Pluto square, which is that time, that thing, like you said. Really, it's about stepping into our own power. It's about shedding old skins, letting go, releasing, getting rid of anything that just is not fitting us anymore. So that's sort of the beginning of those four midlife transits that we talked about earlier at the Pluto square. Everyone gets these transits at around the same ages. Everyone will get them in their own ways, depending on their own life specifics, what they came here to learn. But you look at the archetypes and say Pluto. So Pluto is power. It's the underworld. It's transformation. Pluto is essentially, at the end of the day, Pluto is transformation. So whether that be through letting go of something, whether that be through an ending or a death, that does happen too for a lot of people. My dad actually passed away right on my Pluto square. So it's like letting go of things so that we can step into that authentic sense of self and holding our power gracefully and being able to move into that next phase of our life.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about this. I remember the first time I ever had an esoteric reading in my chart, and my astrologer at the time looked at my birth chart and how did Ann put it? Something like, well, this is kind of boring, but don't worry about it. take a look at every one of your returns, and you will really get excited. For the first time, there's things that show up that are baffling. For example, the moon is like really like everywhere in this return for me. Sun, moon, rising sign features, sun and Sag, right? It goes on to tell you sun in fifth house, ruler of rising sign. And then I thought I was done. But then it goes on, sun in a strong square with the moon. I don't even know what that means. So it goes on, sun in strong square with Neptune, moon in Pisces. I mean, it's like, okay, is this the only thing in my moon in strong conjunct with Neptune, moon in sextile with Pluto. And then I was reading your book, and I'm like, okay, this is about a square thing with Pluto. I don't even know what this is. But you see, it opens up a dialogue to really want to find out more. Because I was going through your book, and I was like, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. Don't be hasty. Okay, that's a good thing. That's good. And then I'm reading Become a Social Justice Activist. I love the way you're bringing in psychosocial, right, aspects in astrology to really help us identify and determine what we're really navigating here and then what the heck to do about it. Because that, in my opinion, that's what you've done. You know, you bring in the union aspects of this, some archetypes, some rituals. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you're saying, if you're here, you can do this.
Yes, it's all about how it plays out in the real world and what we came here to do. And I think you're talking about becoming a social justice activist. Mm-hmm. I believe that's in my Uranus opposition chart.
It is. That's totally right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, when they're having any kind of Uranus transit, they're suddenly thinking about community. They're thinking about the bigger picture. They're like, what can I do to help? What can I do? You know, what kind of cause can I join to make a unique contribution in the world? So that is one of the things. But yeah, you're right. I mean, these are all transits that happen in our lives, but it's about where the rubber meets the road and what can we do in our lives to learn what we're going through, but also how can we apply that in the real world and where can that take us?
And I love the way we get to look at this. Like, I got a really closer look at Uranus in my 10th house in this return. And, you know, what I found fascinating about it is I was reading about it. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm planning for this year. You know, dramatic changes in my life path. Yeah, I'm planning.
Even you saying Uranus is transiting your 10th house, all I can think, the 10th house is essentially about career, life path. It's like your public self, right?
That's
right. Uranus is like the principle of change, radical change, and you know, upheaval, making something new, revolution. So Uranus moving through your house of career is going to say you're going to be doing some new things. Definitely within the career sphere, but it's going to reverberate through, let's face it, through the rest of your chart, through the rest of your psyche. It's not like just something happens in your career and you don't feel it in other parts of your life. So, and that's exciting.
It is exciting. It is exciting because, you know, as I was hearing about this, I was, you know, Jessica and Linda will tell you, there isn't a week that goes by that I don't walk in and say, I've got to get back out in the public again. And that's what Monty was saying to me about the next 4 years. He's like, let me just be very clear. This is yours to do again. But you see, I'm excited about it. And a lot of people don't get excited when they see a planet like Uranus, or they hear a Saturn, or they hear, right? But the way you're presenting it gives people options to really bring their best self forward.
Any transit can be, depending on how you approach it, can be positive, it can be negative. Depends on how conscious you are, it depends on how willing you are to look at it and say, okay, how can I make the best of this? What is it trying to teach me? What archetypal qualities are trying to come through that I need to bring into the world with this particular, you know, so Uranus in your 10th house? So I would say, what do you want to revolutionize in your public life? That's how I would sum that up in one sentence.
That's it. that's it, because, you know, while we were developing and building, I was behind the scenes. But most of the important thing I want to say about this, Danielle, and what you've done is I love that I just want to go back over this, meditation stories and rituals for life's crossroads. And I love how you've left that open to people to decide what a crossroad is and isn't, because sometimes the world of psychology, you know, the world that I studied, sometimes we're a little bit more restrictive on what we call a crossroad. And I must say, there's not many people that I know of that has not gone through major, minor, medium crossroads over the past 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Turning points, absolutely.
Turning points. I mean, the Grammys in Vegas, who knew? Who knew? But you see, they made it happen. You know, they weren't going to not make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. They looked at the life situation in the world, and they made that happen.
It's like pivoting.
Pivoting. And I wanted to ask you about this, too, in the last couple of minutes we have left.
Sure.
There are things we didn't get to talk about, but I will tell you, my second Saturn return, totally like you talked about in the book. In the last couple of minutes we have left, I'd love to hear you talk to our audience about the importance of positive navigation through what could be dark waters.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, any of these transits or crossroads can be navigated positively. And I think, like I as mentioned, I think earlier, I think first thing to do is learn about where you're at. You know, what does it mean to be in your second Saturn return, for instance? Read a little bit about that and contemplate it, think about it. And then ask yourself, how is this playing out in my own life? What can I do to really make the most out of this time period? Because everyone's going to get their second Saturn return between 58 and 60. And I think, using all the tools, using the guided visualization, reading the stories, spending that time in reflection, I think that those things can really help you get an overview and increase self-awareness. And in doing that, you go through it, and again, we come back to that gold and the shadow piece, right? Because then we're able to actually get the best out of it and look at it as another chapter in our unfolding sacred story that is our life.
Mm. Yeah, thank you so much for this. I mean, you have not looked at my chart, but everything that you've talked about in terms of transformation, you know, basically is what's been listed here and written down. I don't know if you know this, but the network that we launched is the Transformation Network, and you're actually being heard on Transformation Talk Radio.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, when we read things like radical transformation, people may go to a place of fear. But sometimes we have to have a little bit of upheaval in order to create that next level, right?
Yes.
You know, it's very difficult to plant in hard soil. Sometimes you have to turn it over.
I love that. That is a great metaphor.
Yeah, but you made that really clear in your book, right?
Thank you.
Sometimes you can turn it over with the shovel, and other times you got to get that rotor tiller. You got to get your honest.
Yes. Yes.
Danielle, thank you. Give us your website again, and again, tell people how to get your book.
My website is danielleblackwood.com. You can email me at danielleblackwood@gmail.com. But send me a message. I'm happy to hear from you. Mm. And my book, you can find pretty much wherever books are sold. I always tell people, try your local bookstores first. It's also on Amazon and the big bookstores as well. And I've got lots of classes coming up regarding the material in this book, but also the one that I've got on May 1st, which I'm really excited about, coming up very soon.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, down in the south end, looks like I-5 southbound. As you're rolling into Fife, it's heavy all the way through the Tacoma Dome. It will break free on the other side of at Highway 16 as you're heading out to Gig Harbor. We also have a small little stop-and-go issue still in downtown Seattle around James Street, and that's I-5 northbound, so bring your patience along with you if you're running into Seattle. So that's okay. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and a roadmap to manifesting miracles in your life with Adrian Cobb.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Federal Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is inching towards a key vote by a pivotal Senate committee. The vote to move Jackson to the full Senate by the Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to deadlock at 11-11. Democrats on the committee have labeled Jackson a historic pick who's highly qualified. Republicans called her evasive and soft on crime in her sentencing practices. Dems hold a razor-thin majority in the full Senate and will pull procedural levers to call a confirmation vote. President Biden is pressing Congress to pass gun control legislation following Sunday's deadly mass shooting in Sacramento, California. Biden said in a statement Sunday night, "We must do more than mourn, we must act." 6 people were killed and at least a dozen were injured in the shooting that happened near downtown Sacramento a little past 2 a.m. Police are still hunting for the suspects. Today is day one of Parkland shooter Nicholas Cruz's death penalty case. Broward Circuit Court Judge Elizabeth Scherer welcoming in the first batch of potential jurors with instructions and a warning this case could last 4 to 6 months.
Because of the length of time that this case is going to take to try, we are doing jury selection in phases because it is easier to deal with the number of people that we're going to be questioning.
Jurors will first be asked if they would have a hardship serving, if they formed an opinion on the case, and if they believe in the death penalty. Once seated, the 12 jurors must unanimously agree on Cruz's sentencing, life in prison without parole, or death for 17 counts of first-degree murder. A wide swath of North Texas is bracing for what looks like some bad weather, which is coming late Monday afternoon through the early part of the night. Governor Greg Abbott says they're watching this closely.
It could spawn tornadoes. You never know exactly what may happen. We went through an episode of severe tornadoes a couple of weeks ago.
The area in danger surrounds Dallas and spreads east through Louisiana over to Jackson, Mississippi. And while the governor mentioned the threat of tornadoes, forecasters say the larger risks will be damaging wind and large hail. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
AJNW can help you build a rewarding show and podcast. Here's just one of our happy hosts.
Hi, this is Dr. K, host of Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance. I emphatically recommend you to the team at KKNW. The station is a great place for lots of messages, especially poets, writers, storytellers, singers, and musicians.
Learn more about hosting your own show and podcast. Call 425-653-1150.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly heavy rain showers this morning, turning to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures on 46, 47 degrees. We'll also have some wind out of the south at 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusting up to 30, 35 in selected areas. So be aware of that. Mostly cloudy skies for this evening, lows dropping down to about 41. For Tuesday, we'll start things out with clouds and rain yet again, highs around 52, making way to partly cloudy skies and some sun breaks by Tuesday afternoon and early evening. Low temperatures down to about 35. For Wednesday and for Thursday, drying out even more, partly to mostly sunny skies, high temperatures in the high 50s to low 60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seat, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have you back. If you were just popping in with us in the last hour, you're popping in now. It's so good to have all of you here. Hi, Benny. Hi, Jacob. How are you guys today?
Right here, Beth.
Doing?
Yep, thanks. Hey, doing well.
All right, yep. Probably you two didn't watch the Grammys, right? Because, Benny, you went to bed early because you go to bed early.
Thanks for calling me out, and yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay.
Now the whole world knows Benny goes to bed early. The whole world knows.
Because I get up like at 5. I can't, like, stay up like I did. So, but it was interesting. You know, it was a whole different energy.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because it was a different energy. And everything from the way it started, also from the diversity that I saw there. And, you know, it really did. It was a follow-up to the Oscars, so to speak, but the musical part of the Oscars. And, you know, I know many of you are very sad that your favorite artist didn't get an award or the award or whatever that is you're looking at. But the talent that is showing up after 3 years of COVID, the way people are emerging, you know, this would be something my very special guest and host of a fantastic show, right, Adrienne Cobb, joining me here today, would talk to you about My Wild Magic with Adrienne. This is her show. But more importantly, today what you're going to hear about is not just a body of her work, but also what she does to help us all understand our soul blueprint. Now, I got to work with Adrienne several months ago and have a look into my soul blueprint. And I remember in that conversation, I can't remember how she phrased it, but boy, was she like spot on. It was something like, Pat, you cannot not do this. No matter how you try, you cannot not do what you're planning to do with the network. And I remember hearing her at that point in time and thinking, you're so right. Trust the process. Trust everything will show up. But if you tapped in and got some help, boy, would the journey be a lot better. And we are talking today about that, because if you have Tribes of Light, a roadmap to manifesting miracles in your life, this is really what today's show is about. And you're going to hear that you may have your own tribe. You may be thinking, no, I don't have a tribe. I'm not worth it. I didn't do enough in life, blah, 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 blah. We're not going to talk about that, because here we go. Get ready. Avatars, galactic councils, planetary light beings, star tribes, angelic hosts. Oh, my. Adrienne, great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we all do have a really awesome support system. That's really what it is. You know, we can use the word tribe of light, council of light, family of light, whatever word might work best for you. But essentially, they're a guidance team on the inner levels, and we are definitely not here alone. We all have an inner guidance system, and that's inclusive of our higher self, our I am presence, our soul, our inner child energies. These are states of consciousness. If you're in your higher self or your soul or your personality, your ego, your inner child, your higher presence. But beyond that state of consciousness, you have this these beings that are supporting you, and that is their job in a universe. They have free will too, but they do support us. They offer us guidance. They can do divine interventions. They help us with our soul blueprint, our higher life purpose, life path. They arrange things like a synchronicity of miracles.
And I love that. I'm going to just tell everybody, right, for a minute, is you not only have done this as a body of work, but you also have a fantastic book, right, that really takes a deeper look into not just understanding this, but to answer a lot of questions. And what I mean by a lot of questions is, you know, what is it when we do believe, you know, we are infinite beings? Who are we? And you know, let me ask you this question, Adrienne, because I know this is, like, so natural for you. I mean, I listen to your show. I hear you talk about it. I'm part of your community, so I get to tap into the messaging and the conversations. But you have made this so accessible for people. You know, you have made this not like an alternative to life.
Yeah, to me, these beings are just like your right hand. You know what I mean? Like, they are an intimate part of our human experience being here, just like the air you breathe or the food you eat or the water you have. Like, they are that connected to our soul's evolution, and they travel with us lifetime to lifetime. So just because we may not see them in that dimensional realm all the time doesn't mean they don't exist. And, yeah, and, you know, for me, how I got started with them actually was in a near-death experience about the age of 15, leaving my body, you know, I came into that golden light, that energy, and one of the things I remember is these, like, big, tall, golden angels all around, and, you know, I chose to come back in kind of fulfill this life, you know, purpose that I had. But I don't ever forget that moment on the other side with them and that energy. So, you know, within about 4 or 5 years, being 15, so by the time I'm turning about 20, 21, I get initiated to Reiki. I'm in massage school on this healing path, which I think that experience kind of led me into. But doing hands-on healing work with people, all of a sudden that intuition showed up. And what I started noticing with people is that every single person I started doing readings with since about the age of 20, 21, every single person, whether it was a healer that was working on me, whether it was a musician on stage, whether it was a client I was working with, all of us have this energy that's kind of behind us or around us. Some sits a little closer if you're more aware of it, some a little further back, but all of us have either angels, star beings, planetary beings, galactic councils, cosmic avatars, ascended master, or nature beings. And so I started realizing, wow, this person works with angels, and their personality matches this type of Enneagram type energy. This person works with star beings, and their personality kind of matches this sort of energetic personality. So each of your tribes of light, actually, you can almost pick it out in a person because their personality will sort of emulate the energy that is streaming through them that they're one with. It's not that they're separate beings. They're literally, they are an angel in human form. They are a star being in human form. That's why it's so intimate. They literally are one with that group that they work with. It's personal to them.
I love that we're talking about this because it ties right in, and maybe you can help us do this, is it ties right into this body of work you do around Soul Blueprint, around understanding, you know, like, when you and I talked about this a while ago, a lot of the things we talked about were not yet in the finalization concrete stage. But fast forward to where we are now, they're not only in the finalization concrete stage, but we're staffing up for them. We're staffing up for our crowdfunding initiative. We're staffing up for AI for the Soul. You know, we're getting ready to train all of you in our new back-end technology. But when you and I spoke, it was fascinating because you said something like you can't not do this. And yet I found myself since that point in time having these moments of doubt. See, I think they creep in when you're not talking to the tribe, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do, as we tend to get in our own way quite often, you know, we can be highly emotional. We get caught up in thought forms. And some of these thought forms or projections come from people that really love and care about us. They come from our genetic, our generational issues. Some of the thought forms you may have about not believing in yourself could be a generational issue going 10 lifetimes back, that somebody had this bad experience and it's just been passed down. Oh, don't take a risk. Don't expand. You're not going to be accepted, whatever. And you're bringing it to the same age. And so your council tribe, family of light, they do back you up and give you courage to do things. They kind of heighten your intuition. They help you get into your heart's wisdom, your body wisdom, your higher self. They kind of heighten everything a little bit if you just simply call them in. Like, it's really that simple. And you can just say, I'm calling into my tribe or council or family of light, whatever word you prefer. And they already know who they are, and they've worked with you lifetime to lifetime. They're there when you're coming into this world. You go out with them a lot of times when you're sleeping at night or meditating. When you have asking questions, they're often the ones that are helping to create the miracles in your life. And when you leave this world, they're the ones that are kind of greeting you and helping you kind of make that life transition and go through your life review. So, and then they'll be there with you again. And one of the things I really like about them a lot that I find is kind of a consistent with people, especially people who are spiritually oriented, I find tend to have a loneliness to them, feeling lonely in this world. And even if you have a lot of physical people around you or a good family or whatever, I find that spiritual people have this like sort of longing or this loneliness that's hard to put words to, but it's there constantly. Realize you're not alone in this world, and it gives you greater courage and love and and unconditionalism to do what you've come here to do, that maybe you just don't get in another way because that spiritual bond is so important for you that there's nothing else quite like it.
You know, one of the things I was reading in your book, and, you know, by the way, I just want to tell everybody, if you're interested in the book I'm referencing, it's Tribes of Light. You can certainly get it on Amazon. If you are interested in connecting with Adrian, go to mywildmagic.com. I think you can get that from there. But, you know, one of the things I was reading in here, and I would love for you to just, you know, comment on it, is, you know, you talk about intuition. I want to jump right to that for a minute, because I find that this is the place that causes, this is the thing, right? As I reflect back to our conversations about, you know, my soul blueprint, and I reflect upon the year, if I'm trusting my intuition, I am in the slide and glide of light. If I am not trusting my intuition, impossible things feel like they show up, even though they may not be impossible. And I wanted you to talk a minute about what you call your inner guidance system, because this is not operating aside from our tribe, right? Talk about the power of trusting our intuition.
Yeah, so as a human being, it took an enormous amount of focus to come into human form. This is not like arbitrary. So, you know, when a being of light, imagine if we're all kind of in force energy and we have enough intention, enough focus gathered, we become an individualized flame of spirit. So we kind of start out as this individualized flame. And at that point, we will go into one of these dimensions of consciousness, like angels or star beings or whatever, wherever we want to kind of start out there. And that becomes a primary tribe of light. And they kind of help us to develop these soul gifts, special traits, higher empathy, some of the intuitions that we have. So as a human being coming into this world, every single one of us is like an antenna that has intuition. And when you start calling in your tribe of light, they interact with you in a way that is on the inner levels to help you to kind of expand that. And I find that, you know, for a lot of people, they have the intuition, but then they don't have the faith to follow through. They have the intuition, they have the emotional energy. So with intuition, you might relate to it as your heart. Some people really listen to their heart. Some people, it's sacral. It's more in their body. Some people, it's purely through their higher self, or it comes in like claircognizant. They don't know why they know it. They just know that's their truth. And so learning how to honor, that's a big deal. And because in human form, so many people have their own projections and opinions, it's nice to have a neutral, unconditional source that you can run things by, in a sense, while you're working through things. And that's where I do automatic journaling a lot of times with my tribe of light.
And, you know, I want to talk about this with you, too, because, you know, part of what you've done here is you've given us, as you say, a roadmap to your guides. You know, there's so many conversations right now, Adrian, about, you know, being in a place that we've never been before. So let me just try to paraphrase it for a minute. People say we've never been here before. We've never been here before. And they're talking about what we've gone through over the past 3 years, let's just call it that. So many things. We've never been here before. For a lot of generations, that's really true. We've never been here with the war that's going on in Russia with Ukraine and Russia, you know, conquering, taking over, you know, being at war with. And there are a lot of people that never. Some of us, we've been through a little bit of that, right? But the generations that really went through that, they have, most of them have now passed, made a transition. But the idea is, even if we've never been through it before, it doesn't mean we can't develop the tools, the guidance system to navigate with this so that it is not overwhelming and takes control of our entire lives.
Right.
And that's the question, because if we tap into tribes of light, and we take a look at what you're presenting to us and how to work with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can pretty much pull from here and there. And what I mean by that is, let's talk about a couple of the tribes, descriptions of the tribes of light, because there may be, some people may relate to the cosmic, some people the galactic, some people the planetary, the star. Can we talk about these for a minute? Because this is a wide range of what I call holistic energies, right, that enable us to navigate and come out to the places where we're guided to be. Can you talk about these for a minute? Because they're all, they're different, right?
Yeah. So the cosmic avatars are a little bit more rare. They're very expanded. You could think of it sort of like a yogi on a mountaintop type of person, not really, you know, all that governed by time and space. They can definitely have a bigger way of thinking, you know, in the world. The galactic beings are very fiery, very passionate. They really want to make a difference in the world. They can accomplish a lot in a day, and they act out of their heart, like just passion, desire just drives them. So if something gets their attention and their passion, they will accomplish it, and they will work really well with groups to get other people to join in, be kind of charismatic to that. The planetary beings are a little bit kind of like more like tall rays of light. They can be highly intellectual. They operate more out of their higher self, not as drawn to the emotional conversations stuff. They can be compassionate, but they really don't get the emotional language. They operate purely out of the higher self. And so there's a kind of a calmness to that and seeing the big picture and not getting too overly involved with stuff. The star beings, on the other hand, are highly creative, very childlike, very emotional related, and are brilliant in their own way, coming up with new systems in the world and new ways of being. And the planetary beings can do the same thing, but the planetary beings are more higher self, more in their mental body. The star beings are very genius, very creative, but more in their emotional body, more in their inner child. The angels are very much in the heart, not like the galactic beings that are passion-driven, fire-driven. The angels are going to be softer, gentler, compassionate, nurturing. They just want everybody to be okay, want to, you know, take care of people, want peacefulness, and it's all about loving and nurturing and sometimes even going into overcare. The ascended masters are going to be people who are more like teachers. They want to teach other people. They want to raise consciousness in the world. You know, they are going to be writing spiritual books. They're going to be teaching in different capacities. And they'd rather teach you how to fish than fish for you. You know what I mean? So they're kind of like a parent figure that has like that tough love. But they do have compassion well developed, and they just want the world to be a better place, and they're willing to put their effort into it. And then people who connect into the nature kingdom are, you know, like little wildlings. They just want to run barefoot and be in the nature. What more can I say about them? They want to plant a garden. They're just way more comfortable with nature and sometimes even animals, but nature itself. And they do a lot to help with the earth, just even their vibration. They're kind of a steward to the nature and however they are in nature. Now, any of these can overlap a little bit, and occasionally you can have people who have been around the block, the universe a few times. They might have started out being a star being, like you have star being energy, but you definitely have galactic energy that backs you up, and you accomplish, and you're fiery, and you manifest, and you get stuff done, and you're charismatic. But you also have Kuan Yin that works with you in the background of your energy field, and so you're working with ascended masters. So, you know, that's kind of a hybrid where you have different ones where you start with a primary, but out of your soul's evolution in between lifetimes, you've gone into different dimensions or different lifetimes, and you've studied and kind of added those in.
Mm. And, you know, one of the things I love is on your website, they can take a Tribe of Light quiz, right?
Free quiz, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh.
I'll shoot you back a PDF, kind of letting you know a little bit about your Tribe of Light. And the key to the quiz, is like any quiz you're going to take online, is just really get centered in yourself. Some of the questions, of course, you could, you know, could apply to different ones. But the more you breathe into your heart and you're really being unconditionally loving with yourself and unconditionally honest about the questions, not trying to be a better person or not trying to fit in, but really just being honest, you can get a really great result back on your Tribe of Light. And it's just a starting point to say, wait, well, you know, maybe I do work with star beings, or maybe I'm an angelic star being, or maybe I work with whatever. It's a good starting space.
Well, I took the quiz, and I want to talk about this, too, because I did take the quiz, and I think I took it before, and I took it again, and out of this came Galactic.
Yeah, the Galactic, and that's one you hear.
Does that surprise you?
No. Yeah, and that's one that you're very active with. Like, that's one that you are, like, in terms of your soul blueprint, your tribe of light essentially is kind of here to help you with your divine plan and purpose, what it is that you came to fulfill and to experience. Because we came here to kind of experience personal things, you know, like maybe it's a relationship or learn how to love or to have deep compassion or to have a child or to be of great service in the world. And then there's a part of your soul blueprint where you're going to be of service with others, but it's like a hologram. There's a lot of things in a soul blueprint. It's not just one thing you've come to do. It's an experience that helps you to evolve as a soul based on where you've come from and what you're evolving into. And so your tribe of light really already know what that is. They already know what your life purpose and path is, and they try to organize it to where you get the highest version of it. Because you can be living some lower version of it, or you can live a much higher version. I'd say you're living a very high version of your soul blueprint, just very pure, very from the heart. So when you commit to that service, the galactic beings, like if you had not activated transformation, you know, if you had not, like, done something at a bigger scale, the galactic beings may not have come in so much. But because the star being part of you is like, I want to work with Galactic Councils and really work with Kuan Yin and the Lords of Karma and helping the family of humanity on this bigger scale, that part of you with the galactic body, the galactic consciousness, and the Galactic Council comes in and they're like, oh, yeah, we're right behind her because she's showing up to that mark. You see what I mean? So
yeah, I do.
As well as the Ascended Masters that you work with as well. It's like sometimes they activate when you're committing to yourself out of that love.
Yeah, I love this because I'm really reflecting upon the last time we looked at my soul blueprint, and I remember there being some question marks in my mind. And, you know, I don't question those question marks, but I'm really fascinated now because we talked about so much in those sessions we had together, and yet I now have watched how they've all started to play out. So when you sit down, you take the quiz again, it may be a little different for me because, you know, you're right. I'm at this place now where it seems like maybe there are some things happening for us that happened overnight, but not really. This is a lifetime of preparation.
Lifetimes.
Thank you.
It can sometimes take lifetimes of soul wisdom and experiences to be gained before we can do something of this other caliber in this lifetime. You know, it's fascinating actually to look at kind of how eternal are, but how we build energy, you know, being at the right time at the right place kind of thing with that.
Yeah. And I love this because I love the way you talked about your own story, especially soul searching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I, you know, people ask me, what have you felt your Achilles heel has been all your life? And that is feeling stupid. You know, and that is just something that has followed me for my life. Now, I'm not so much there, but I know that a large part of having to accomplish and achieve and learn and study came from that feeling, you know, came from stuttering and being slow or whatever the language is they give you when you're in school. But whatever that is.
Well,
whatever that language is.
Like, depending on where you're at, like, some people have a very clear tribe of light that is single-minded, like a certain type of star being way in the future they've come in from that's very pure, very aligned. They have not maybe had a whole lot of earthy experiences, and they've come in with that lineage, right? So let's say with you, though, because you do work with Ascended Masters, so you've had lifetimes of doing that, and you have the Galactic Council and the star beings. When you're in your high creative phase and you're like busting out those ideas and you're like visualizing like almost in an ADD kind of way where you're just like, that's the star beings. That's
okay.
You communicating with your star beings, and they are highly active, just download, Pat, with all these amazing cool ideas. And then when it comes time to like look at maybe integrating it, well, you know, what's kind of the path? What's really my soul message here? That could be your Ascended Masters really kind of fine-tuning your soul message of really what you're trying to be a service to the world, because that's how they interact. And then when it comes time to actually activate it and get it done in the world and be passionate and talk about it, that'll be your galactic beings coming in and magnetizing all the souls that need to hear this or whatever you do. You see what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah,
if you work in concert with that energy. You brought up the war in Ukraine, and a lot of information started flooding in when you did that. So based on the tribal, do you want to do this? Like, if we just sort of look at Putin's energy for a minute, I just want to show you
something. Yeah. Yeah, please, let's do it. I interviewed with Mark, one of the youngest parliamentary member of the Ukraine, a couple of weeks ago. And now, of course, you know, parliamentary member Yuras is out in the field with a gun. We haven't really heard from him. But there was something about what's going on over there that hit me at a very deep level. Really don't understand.
I thought when you were talking about it, there's something coming in that all of a sudden got the attention, and so I'm just kind of sort of...
Go for it.
Okay. So with Putin's energy, he is carrying, in a way, kind of a more planetary being consciousness, okay? So it's a bit more stoic, not very emotional. It has, you know, it's seeing things, like he's probably brilliant at planning things and seeing things on a higher level, and knowing exactly what he wants to accomplish and going for it, right? You know what I mean? There's a certain discipline to him, which I'd say probably even has some ascended master energy somewhere backing him in some of his past lives. When a planetary being gets out of balance, which maybe has happened in this case, what happens is that if a planetary being gets out of balance, they'd rather be right than be loved. They have to be right, actually, to its own death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know.
And the mental body can actually warp a bit. So they actually can come in with a good idea of, like, unify. Let's unify Russia and the Ukraine. But when it's out of balance, it's like, I'm going to go conquer. I'm going to be right. I'm going to take it. I'm going to be emotional. So I'm going to be stoic. I'm going to get paranoid about it. You know, all these types of things, right? And so that higher purpose can actually get quite out of balance if trauma in the nervous system hasn't been dealt with. You could say the same thing about people, or different people, right?
Yeah.
Zelensky, on the other hand, his energy feels very heart-centered, you know what I mean, overall. Like, there's a certain heart-centeredness, and like, it feels like he's wanting to be helpful in a way, you know what I mean? But it feels like with his energy, he's carrying a certain energy that it feels like it's a little bit more progressive, a little bit more star being type energy. He's wanting to bring perhaps a whole different level of unity to situations. And they're both leaders, right, in their own right, but they do have their own energies working with them. And when we talk about the inner guidance system, it's really important to follow our breath, to keep our nervous system clean and clear, because when we have these intuitions, which my guess is Putin probably thinks he's very right in his mind about whatever he's doing. You know what I mean? Most people have that issue, right? But if it hits your trauma, then it starts playing out in this incredibly messy way that can be quite hurtful. Now, good news is, no matter how much harm you do in the world, human beings are going to evolve from it. So no matter how horrible something might seem, it will cause other souls to come up to par, even that soul, to have to kind of grow and learn. Sometimes that learning doesn't happen until after they're passed from this lifetime, but it does cause a learning and a progression of evolution regardless. So, yeah, and there is a big difference between, sometimes people ask this question a lot in terms of, is your tribe of light, could it be my grandmother? What about if we have entities? I don't want to let something bad in.
Right.
So the tribes of light are inherently kind of more a light energy. So if you had entities or darker energies like that, that's not going to necessarily be tribes of light energy. That's just something you sort of picked up along the way, maybe you opened yourself up to. And it's also not necessarily a family member either. That isn't really that what that is either. These beings usually stay in energetic form. And when you go out of your bed, like let's say you're sleeping or whatever, they have their own temple of light, their own dimension. So we're talking about dimensional consciousness here.
Yep.
So just to kind of clean that through a little bit.
I love that. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about, you know, what does it mean to look at your tribe of light? You know, and we'll give you really some great examples. But really, here's the thing. How can they help you? How can they help you? So when I think about this, and we'll talk about this when we come back, how can the galactic tribe of light help me? Or better yet,
how have they helped me? What is it about moving, navigating, walking through, stepping up, whatever your language is, you know, the conscious living light? How does it spiral out in Adrian Nikki Cobb's words, how does it spiral out and back in on itself? How does it do this in this self-sustaining cycle? And then how does it do this in expansion in the universe? When we come back, that and so much more. If you want to find out about, look, go to mywildmagic.com. Check it out. There's ways for you to get involved. There are groups. There's membership. There's so many different ways that you can work and be part of what Adrian is talking about. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
About impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Bryant, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Bryant brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Bryant, B-L-Y-P-H-E.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit wildministriesllc.com.
Thank you, Benny. Thank you for playing that. That is Olivia Newton-John from Grace and Gratitude. We have permission to actually play that from Olivia herself. So anybody that's listening and worrying about licensing around that, we do have permission to play the entire album. Thank you, Olivia Newton-John. for that. Grace and Gratitude, of course, is a CD she did. And by the way, if you want to find out about that, do it. Adrian, before we go, and we're going to talk about the Tribes of Light. We're going to talk about this galactic for a minute, Galactic Tribe. But before we do that, how do people find out about you? Tell us about the things that they can get engaged with you that will walk them through on a regular basis so their soul can be fed here and figure this out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So go to mywildmagic.com. That's mywildmagic.com, mywildmagic.com. And really, My Wild Magic, what that means, because a lot of people ask me, you know, about that just because the title of it. But to me, wild magic is like the essence of the universe. It's like the essence of who we are as a human being. It's like that wild magic is actually the depth of love in our heart. And when you tap into that level of vulnerability, that level of that pure love energy, it just creates like a wild magic in the universe. It's a phenomenal magical energy. And we all have it. It's just getting in touch with our pure essence to do it. And then if you go there, you know, I have a shop page and you can look. I have an online course where you can, you know, look at how to ignite your own soul blueprint and take you through 6 different structures of doing that, which includes the Tribe of Light. I have the Tribe of Light book that you can read. I also have Hearts on Fire meditation, and that is a Wednesday, 6 o'clock specific time that I do every Wednesday. And that's really one of my favorite things to do with people, is because it calls an energy and it puts us, we go into a quantum prayer field that holds us throughout the whole month, right? And so it's for anybody who is looking to kind of up-level their energy, be part of a higher consciousness or a group. You're being downloaded and cleared while we're doing the meditations, which, you know, 30 minutes or so. But we are kind of soul traveling, honestly. And when we're soul traveling with these tribes of light, these cosmic beings, cosmic downloads, galactic transmissions, star transmissions. And we're able to kind of, they work with us, whatever you need individually, to help clear your energy field and to upgrade it. But at the same time, we're acting as a conduit with them to be of service to the earth and whatever their intentions are, right? So it's like being an acupuncture point, drawing these higher rays of light down. And so it's a great way to be of service straight from your own home and very gently and powerfully be cleansed and cleared of whatever might be going on. And so it's a great kind of guided meditation kind of thing we do there. It does also kind of increase our intuition and raise our vibration, just simply being a part of it, whether you're on the Wednesday calls or not. They're always recorded, but your higher self is sort of in the energy. So that one is a really cool thing. I also do offer personal one-on-one sessions, and I teach vision quests, mostly virtual, sometimes in person. They kind of go back and forth, and I usually put those around the equinox. So that's March and September. And those cause a soul quickening. So those are like for people who really want that soul quickening, who really want to go to that next level of their life, making a difference. Anybody who might be at a crossroads or just wanting to ignite that energy at a more quick space. And then the final thing I offer is a soul blueprint intensive, which is sort of like doing a quest, except for instead of a 7-day or 21-day, you were going to do it for 6 months to a year on a more consistent basis, working together several times a month. And so if you have an idea that you want to facilitate, a soul blueprint you want to awaken, it is incredibly, you know, powerful and awakens a lot. It's just multidimensional. Like it is a multidimensional experience.
Yeah, and the reason I'm glad you brought that up and sharing it with people is because we are now, and, you know, I get asked this question a lot, especially when I do groups or teaching, and I always get asked the question, you know, but gee, Pat, it's just me. You know, I don't own a network. I'm not a Dr. Pat show. And, you know, I think about this, and I have to realize sometimes I don't even see myself that way because, you know, underneath all this is still this kid from the Bronx. Right, that, you know, sold the hot dogs from a hot dog cart. And, you know, there's so much of that young spirit in me. And I think if we can invite people to know that this is not about one being better than the other. I had to learn early on when I had a number of learning disabilities, stuttering, reading, writing, the whole thing, right? I graduated high school because my summer school teacher really felt bad for me. But the point is this. You can be different, but not less than.
Right.
And I think that is the important thing to hold, because now let's talk about how we call in our tribe of light, no matter where we are. I just happened to be talking with you during the break because I was sharing something about Shirley MacLaine, and I looked in your book, and thank you for giving examples in your book of people that we may relate to, because now we could say, oh, that's them. That's Miley Cyrus. That's okay. That, and of course, I'm looking at the cosmic beings, and I saw, I look at the cosmic beings, and I saw Deepak and the Dalai Lama and John of God and Gandhi, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's them. I know I'm not there, because there's a part of me that just still likes to play ping pong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I love the way you're doing this, because you're talking about how we bring this radiance in and use it. Could be multiverse, it could be multidimensional, it could be whatever you want to call it. But we're in this earth skin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all of these principles, all of these beings, all of these tribes are available. What do we need to do to activate them and bring them in? And do we want to use galactic, or would you like to use something else as an example?
Well, it's really just a matter of calling them in. So, I mean, very simple. Let's just take a moment and do it. So if anybody's listening now or later, I want you to take a deep breath. And our breath is really the way we kind of fine-tune our system and come back home to ourselves. It is the greatest healing instrument we have, whether it's moving through emotions, thought forms, connecting to beings of light, connecting to the earth, breath. So just want you to start following the natural rhythm of your breath for a moment, just breathing in and out. And it usually takes 3, 5, maybe 10 breaths, and it starts to bring you into coherence. So I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. You can breathe in and out of your heart. You can breathe up and down your spine. And you'll find very, very subtly within even 3 to 5 breaths that you just feel a little calmer, a little more peaceful, a little bit more in your own energy field. In yourself. Okay, and then once you get there, you simply want to call in. I'm calling forth to my tribe, council, family, whatever word you feel good about, to come in and around me. Now, everything in the universe has a signature to its vibration, a light, a color, a fragrance, a sound frequency, a symbol, and a feeling. So based on your guidance system, your intuitions that all kind of work in harmony, you might see them. You might notice a color. You might hear something. You might have a knowingness. You might have a feeling tone. But just take a moment and just breathe in. I'm calling forth to my tribe, council, family of light to come in and around me. You're literally inviting them in to come in and around you. After doing that breathing, it's going to be easier, quieter to sense them. And just notice if you have a feeling, a color, a sense of their energy for a moment. Sometimes people get tingles, they feel warm, they feel at home. Sometimes people feel like they want to cry. Some people get very, very excited and happy, joyful. Okay, now from there, simply ask, which tribe of light are you? And I'm going to say them out loud. So are you coming as a cosmic avatar? Are you part of the Galactic Council? And you might just get a yes, no, red light, green light, a knowingness. Are you a planetary being? Are you coming from the star tribes, star system? Are you angelic, coming from the angelic coast? Are you coming from the ascended masters? Are you coming from the nature kingdom? And again, you can get answers to more than one because you might have interacted with them, right? And then just start calling them in, and they're like your new best friends. It's just like the more you spend time with them, the more you journal with them, the more you meditate with them. Help me find a parking place. Help me win the lottery. Help me with this relationship. Help me with a conversation. Help me with this job. Help me get my car fixed. Help me with my pet. Help me with my kids. Whatever it is, there's nothing too big or too small, but when you start calling them in, you're going to have more and more of a knowingness, because that light, that color, that feeling, that knowingness, that whatever it is that you experience, you'll be like, oh, that's them. Like maybe you're just simply talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you'll have this feeling wash over you. That's when you know, oh, my gosh, maybe I'm channeling. Maybe there's a message for this person or a healing energy or they're trying to guide me in some way in my life or in my dreams.
I love that we just did that because one of the things that I know that's been operating for me, but I didn't, I really didn't put it together, is, and I'm exactly like you described me. As a matter of fact, Jessica and Linda, they're like their worst nightmare is like when I come in, and it's generally a Monday. See, I've learned from this, Adrian, so I don't do this anymore. But I'll walk in or I'll send them a text over the weekend and I'll say, oh, my gosh, I just got a great idea. That is like for them, okay, here's. And, you know, it's not that it's not a great idea, but it's a body of work.
No, I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
My manager is like, it's so much pages. Because if you just leave me alone for a little bit, I'm like, well, what about this idea? What about this idea?
Exactly.
Go off. And then they have to execute it all. They have to bring it to life. And then you want to change it up a little bit. And then the idea gets bigger. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, we need to go in this other direction because it's a better idea now. So I hear you on that one. I'm with you on that one.
And I would have to say that they've learned also, and I've gotten a little bit better. Timing is everything, isn't it? And to walk in a time where I've got two producers that are on vacation and say, got a great idea, we have to do it now. But so I've gotten a little better at how to house those ideas or orchestrate them.
Yeah.
But this is the time of ideas.
It is. Well, and we are in a new Earth frequency now. It's like mm-hmm. we have literally gone from an old Earth paradigm, thousands of years worth, at minimum 2,000, right, into a new Earth paradigm just in the last couple of years. Like while we have been doing the whole, you know, COVID experience, we have one of the beauties of the COVID experience is that the whole world has kind of had to slow down a bit while we have been in this kind of changing of energy, you know what I mean? And so now we're in this new Earth energy where these new ideas and people doing new healing things and new restaurants and new ways of doing government and new ways of doing, you know, being present to the Earth are ready to take off now. So there has been kind of a service in our weird little interim time we've had, shifting frequencies, which is a big deal. It's a big deal for a planet to go through such a major frequency shift, and it's a very big deal for us being on the Earth to have to shift our vibration. I know so many people who have just exited, mass exodus.
I know
they're
it.
Just leaving the planet. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, and not, so I think some people just want to simply come back when the new vibration is a little bit more stabilized. But then there's people like you, some of the stuff that I do. It's like we're here to kind of be that bridge into that new dimension because there's a lot of new souls that are going to come in from that new Earth frequency already adapted to it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fascinating because I was going through some of the, you know, the folks, and I think some days I walk between, you know, one tribe of light versus the other. And I love that you just did that exercise with us because what was fascinating about it is it depends on sometimes where I am physically. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but if I'm doing a show like this and I'm in front of a lot of technology, I'm managing my technology, I got producers doing it, I feel totally, right, more like Elon Musk. I feel more like a Steve Jobs, right? So I feel more like the planetary, right? You know, when we're talking about, okay, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And what's fascinating.
Yeah, whether or not you can, whether or not that is your tribe of light, you can still access the brilliance of any other tribe of light simply by calling them in. They're all happy to be of service with you. Like you may not be of an angelic order, but really want the assistance of angels.
And I have to say that this is really, for me, the most important part of this for people to know is that there's so many that you can pull from. I know that when I'm sitting down and I have a vision for our technology and our expansion, I am not over there in the galactic so much. I think I'm over here in the planetary systems because I'm asking for very specific things to show me the pathway or the connection. Here we are today, and we've come out of 3 years of people having to find their own ways to move their vibration up. And there are people, I'm telling you, I've lost a family member, and then the family member's brother died. And so, you know, you're watching people unexpectedly pass. I've had a friend of mine that lost, you know, sister-in-law very unexpectedly.
So that's a big deal. In human form, we do have things that go on. We're compassionate witness
yep.
war, or we're in the war, or we've lost people that we love.
Yeah.
There's a tragedy. This is another way that your family blood, your tribal blood can really help you, is that we can actually go out and bless energy. I find a lot of times the middle path, that McCallie and that middle path, has a lot to do with learning how to bless people versus polarizing on some level. I'm going to save you, or I'm going to curse you. I'm going to fight with you. You know, I'm going to choose that middle path. I'm just going to bless you. So if it's Putin or Zelensky, I'm going to bless you. If it's the family member who passed away, it's so healing to be able to bless and to say, I'm calling in the angels of light, or the, I have clients who call me all the time with stuff going on. And oftentimes, right on the spot, I will just send angels of healing, or Mother Mary and the Sacred Heart angels, or Archangel Michael, or the emissaries of light coming in from the Pleiadians, whatever shows up, because there's a frequency that shows up when you're blessing your child, your pet, your family members, a world event will show up on their behalf a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
The more you do it, the better you get at listening to it. But that can be so like healing for us to know that they not only are here for us, they can bless people or the earth through us.
Yeah. And you know, every chapter of your book, whether you're talking about the angelic guide in the book or the ascended masters, you give us references and ways that we can call in this energy. That's what I love about what you do, is that you're really teaching people how to call things in, and not just, you know, talking about it. For example, like calling something in for the next 10 years, really talking about calling things in a beautiful, miraculous way, and knowing that we all have the potential and power to do that. You know, I want to ask you, the book is out. We've just talked about some of the things you're doing. And I want to ask you this question. What is on the horizon for you now? You know, when you look a little bit ahead, you know, give me the short version of a vision for Adrian.
Oh, yeah. No, after success, I definitely have a vision. And it's multidimensional in my soul blueprint. So one is, there's the energy of a new partnership. I haven't met them yet, but I know that they're kind of on their way. That's one. And that is personal. That's a part of our soul blueprint, to interact with people who are going to expand your soul evolution in whatever way it does. Another is, I have probably four books, really. I have two more books coming out. One is the Igniting Your Soul Blueprint book. I'm editing that now. The next one is Communicating with Angels, and the other one is an angel course, you know, helping people, because I think the angels are such a beautiful group of beings. So there's two more books that are part of the series, Tribes of Light, Igniting Your Soul Blueprint, and Higher Conversations with Angels, right? Then I have the online course for the Soul Blueprint. There's also going to be an online course for communicating specifically with angels. There's going to be two additional books, which I've already got the book covers designed, which are actually for young adults, because I love young adult books. Like, they are my favorite thing in the world to read. And, and so blending some of these concepts in of journeying with, you know, like a young adult sort of fiction, sort of nonfiction kind of book. And then the quest, you know, that I'm not only doing them virtually, which I do love doing, but also going out and doing them more at the etheric retreats and inviting people to participate on that level. So, and then the podcast, which I do with Transformation Talk Radio. I think you're an amazing, impeccable, you know, organization bringing high conscious work to the planet. I think, you know, very highly of you and your integrity. So, you know, the podcast and then continuing with developing meditations on my YouTube station, My Wild Magic. So, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like I got a list of that's been downloaded that I just need to kind of stay focused on.
Thank you. I love this because you're right about it. You and I should do, and I'm going to schedule a call so we could just catch up. Because
the blueprint does evolve. Layers of it. You can only take in so much at one time, and it's like a work of art. It's like something. It's like a working art that evolves. You can always come back and revisit it.
And I love this. And I love that what you're doing is offering people a way to really lean into their true heart's desire, their true heart nature. And, you know, one of the things you end the book with is you say, it's been my great joy and pleasure being your guide on the journey of your tribes of life. Now that you know you have access to these magical worlds and tools of light, remember, this is the message for me, I remember to use them wisely in the fulfillment of your soul.